is good. Happy Father's Day to all of you fathers out there. If you're a father, congratulations there. If you're a dad, you deserve some praise. Amen? Amen. I want to read this to you. Mark Twain said this, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to be around him. When I got to be 21, I was astonished on how much he learned in 7 years." Here's another quote. "A father carries pictures where his money used to be." Anybody say amen to that? And how about this? "Every father should remember that one day his son will follow his example instead of his advice." Ephesians chapter 6, you found it? Starting with verse 1, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you live long upon the earth." Verse 4, "And fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but rather bring them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord." How many want to live a long life? 1 Kings chapter 2. Tell me when you got it. I want to read verse 2 to you. King David now is going to pass on, and he's given his charge to his son Solomon. And I think there's some lofty words here. He says, "I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and show yourself a man." I believe when a student is fully trained, he's just like his teacher. And if you'll note that children, they grow pretty quick. How many can say amen to that? Soon they're gone. We had a chance to attend a couple of grad parties yesterday, and I remember some of these guys when they were just little Mo's, and all of a sudden now they're big Mo's. The truth is that they grow quick. Like you that have been out of school for a while, when you start to see different numbers on shoulders, on patches, you're like, gosh, I remember what that year, I remember that year. The truth is that it goes by quickly, slowly, and suddenly. But that's the truth about growing up. But when it comes to being a kid, it's one thing we all have in common. We'll always be somebody's kid. I said we'll always be somebody's kid. And ultimately we'll be a son or daughter of God. When I look at David, he's going to pass away. And he looks at his boy and says, "Solomon, I want you to be a man." And I really believe that, men, if we can instill that quality in the next generation, we're doing something. That today there are so many things, there are so many distractions. As you all know, listen, I have kids, I don't have grandkids yet, but I have nieces and nephews. And when I go to greet them, they're so in tune with their phone that they'll do this, "Hi." And that'll be the conversation. With all our technology, interpersonal relationships have not gotten better. So sometimes we have to work on those things. But one thing I can say is that examples set are still seen whether they're spoken or not. That people can see that area. I shared with the first service, every church needs to have an influx of new folks as well as seasoned saints. I said they need new folks as well as seasoned saints. Families need to be a part of that area. And the church can never forget that it needs to be part of every area. Whether they're young or old, we need it all. Amen? Now, I've been in church. In fact, I was at a church where the congregation was all older. There was hardly any young families there. How many knows that that needs to have the other mix too? And I've been where people have been immature in the Lord without having seasoned saints in it. We need the balance of both. Even in our prayer time, one of the prayers that I pray all the time is that we have generational blessings upon. That we can have kids and grandkids and great-grandkids and great-great-grandkids. How many of us that needs to be a part? That needs to be in our prayer time. If the Lord should go, listen, Terry, and we go the way of all flesh, we need another generation serving the Lord. Come on. If you've ever been over to Europe, a lot of the great churches at that one time now are bars or this or something different than what they were intended to be. And here's a fact. What we do in moderation, our kids are going to do in excess. We need to get back to those fundamental truths. Can you see David? He's lived a long life now. He's had many battles. Fought Goliath. Did this. Now, look at this boy. And I can just see this setting. Him saying, "Son, I'm going to go the way of all flesh. Be a man. Be a man. Take what you've learned and now apply it. Men in here, wouldn't that be want for your boy that they grow up and be a man? Yes or no? You ladies in here, wouldn't you want your girls to grow up and be a godly woman? The truth is that's what we want for our kids. But we have to set that example. We have to be that. Now, I know there's a broad range in this room of whether your children are with you or they've grown up or you have little ones at home. But there are things that we need to teach. Listen, our children are only a few feet away. They can tell if we've been with God's presence or not. Say amen. So whether you have children or not home or with you, they can still see the example. True? And how many knows that if grandkids come along, they still need another example? The only difference is you can spoil them and send them home. Amen? You can buy all the loud gifts and say, oh, praise the Lord, I'm glad that's going with you. Amen? Number one, if you're taking notes here, five things we need to teach our children is number one is that we must teach our children the attributes of God. It's a father's responsibility to raise his children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. That means this, we must teach the very nature of God himself revealed in his word. Come on, they need to know about how God is, that God is love, that he is powerful, that he is almighty, that he is all-knowing. That's something that we need to instill. We can't allow the education system to teach our kids about what we should be teaching them. Amen? I don't want to leave it to another teacher to teach them about the God that I know and serve. Now, if they do that as a supplement, great, but that's our responsibility. That's why you families in here, we don't have just a babysitting service here. We have a service for our children. Amen? That they can grow in grace. Now, how many in here, you got saved as a young child? Let me see your hand. I'm so glad of that. Somebody spent some time instilling that, true? How much more today and age that we have that? Our VBS program, I'm going to be one of the characters. Now, I don't have anything country-like at all, so I'm going to have to get some of that gear. But I don't mind acting a fool if it reaches a child. Say amen. Because that may be some of our kids. We're sowing life into them. Number two, if you're taking notes, we must teach our children about the person of Jesus Christ, who he is, what he has done, what he has promised. And listen, that he can have them as their personal Savior. One of the greatest joys ever is seeing your son or daughter come to know the Lord and pray that prayer. Come on, isn't that the greatest joy ever? To have a chance to lead them or be a part of that area, leading them to that thing. The church needs to be about that. Amen? During our VBS program, we get some folks that just drop their kids off for those 3 hours or whatever time it is, and then come pick them back up. I'm glad they did. Amen? How many of us that's instilling in that area? And I've seen those little ones come forward. And here's what's so amazing. You don't have to teach this. I've seen kids don't even know the Lord, experience him as Savior, and do this. Jesus, thank you. All of a sudden, they lift their hands, and they thank him. Nobody taught them it. It's just like, it just knew it, instinct. All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost rises up within, and they followed in obedience. I mean, I've seen lives change is what we're about. This is the soul-winning church. I want you as a congregation to be praying that, Lord, that we have every generation represented continually. Amen? Number three, if you're taking notes, we must teach our children about the nature of man, that we have sinned, that our fleshly nature is selfish, that all of us have fallen short of the glory of God, and that our sin, we need to be redeemed. How many have sinned in this room? More than once. After you've been saved, aren't you glad for the grace of God? Amen? Aren't you glad that you didn't have to get all holy before you came to him? He made you holy after you came to him. He said, come with your sin. You'll come this way, but you're going to leave this way. That's such grace upon God. How many of us are still in? I'm still in that refining process. I haven't arrived yet, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. Amen? How many of us say God will do it? Some years, it's like a giant grinder to you. You're stripped down. Other years, it's a little sanding and buffing. Sometimes it's a little finish. And then there's sometimes, squat. He just starts all over. How many knows that he still does a good job no matter what? We got to trust in the Master. But people need to know, listen, I have sinned. Listen, I knew after I got saved, I was so glad I didn't die without Jesus, because I knew hell would have been that place. It's amazing to me that when you're unsaved, you make hell this party place. Yeah, all my friends will be there. When you get saved, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm glad I didn't die. How many have that reality? That's so real today. Number four, if you're taking notes, we must teach our children the requirements of salvation. As you all know, in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short. When you get to Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. But the end of the verse says, but the gift of God's eternal life. We need to share with them, hey, listen to me, that we've done what was wrong, but God will forgive and do men change what make it right. And I love this, verse 10 in Romans, verses 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I want our children to know that they can be saved. Children and youth make great evangelists. Before we get all afraid to talk to people, sometimes they'll just open their mouth and share. How many of us need an encounter? Can you imagine? Listen to me. We need to set it up for success. We need to be so filled with life that on Monday morning, if they're going to school on Monday, like Sunday, they're going to school on Monday, like, man, I just met with God. I got to share this. Kids make great evangelists in inviting other kids to things like a VBS program. In fact, they do it better than us. Amen? But we need to speak. Only through Christ can we be saved. There's a balance between repentance and faith, but only through Christ you can be saved. My wife and I were chatting with a couple young people, and we were amazed that this young person never understood who Jesus Christ was. Had no clue about what it is. The only name they ever heard was in a cuss word. So we were just stuck there like, wow, it's amazing. You live in America. And you have no clue at all. No, I don't know. Our families never went to church. We never talked about things like that. And they were intrigued, like, what do you mean forgiven? What do you mean saved? How many of those seeds were being planted? Come on, we need to nurture that. We need to speak that. We have every opportunity to be that example. We need to be that. Amen? Number five, we need to teach our children the reverence for the Word of God. Here's what the Scripture says. In Proverbs 3, verse 1 through 3, my son, do not forget my law, but keep them in your hearts as my command. For length of days and long life and peace will I add to you. How many want your children to have a long life, lengthened days, and peace? Every parent should want that for their kids. No, I want my kids to be miserable like they've made me. No, come on. No, we want them to have a great journey, have long life. In fact, probably if we could all back up time, we would have made so few things different ourselves in decisions. How many say amen to that? Well, what if we could teach another generation that they could avoid a lot of heartache by not doing this and do this? Amen? In Proverbs 3, verse 3 says this, let not mercy and truth forsake you, but bind them around your neck and write them on the tablets of your heart. I love that. Mercy and truth is around my neck. And I'm going to write His word on my heart. Can you imagine what God could do with anyone who totally sells out to Jesus Christ? That's one thing I look at the Apostle Paul. When Jesus said he's a chosen vessel, I can see why. He sold out to Jesus and gave his life, and he wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. Somebody who would arrest Christians before now preaches that same gospel. I think we need an intimate time with God. Amen? I believe that we need to start speaking world changers in this generation and the next. We need to start speaking that over our kids. No, you're a world changer. You're just not going to assimilate into society. No, you're a world changer. God's made you greater, a greater destiny than that. Oh, somebody should come unglued here. I'm speaking that over my family. You're a world changer. Your life, you're going to change lives. For all of us in this room, 2 Timothy 2 verse 15 says, be diligent to present yourself to God. A worker, not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All of us are still in the discipleship phase. All of us. No matter where we're at in our Christianity, we can still grow more in grace and knowledge of the truth. There may be a basis that you already have, but every service you should be able to grab a little bit. Lord, let me think about that. Come on, that's feeding it, amen? I've ate mashed potatoes a lot in my life. I love mashed potatoes. Who loves mashed potatoes? The real ones, not just the box ones, okay? The box ones work, but how many knows the real? How many like real mashed potatoes? If I ate it twice in a day, it wouldn't bum me out, okay? I really do. Mashed potatoes are awesome. Does anybody like ribs in here? Oh, good. All right. Now, if you don't like meat, I understand. I'm not anti that. Amen? But the truth is, there's something you like. You know what? I don't get tired of certain things. We should never get tired of the Word of God. Amen? And if I ever get tired about praying or seeking Him, I need to repent and get before Him. Lord, change that heart. That's not the right heart to have. Because You're a good God. Come on, He's a good God. Let me give you a little testimony. We've had three gentlemen in this church over this last year that have suffered heart attacks, serious ones, and every one of those have came out of it without problems. How many knows God still, He still does some things, amen? How many knows He'll visit us in a day of our calamity? We had two people that had car accidents recently, and both of them are totally fine. Walked out, cars demolished, totally fine. Amen? Amen. Secondly here, children need. Now, how does children have need of acceptance? Children have needs of approval. Children have needs of affection. Children have needs of association. And children have need of authority. And when I begin to look at this list, you know what? Tom needs acceptance. Tom needs approval. Tom needs affection. Tom needs association, and Tom needs authority. These things we don't move from. They may be younger, but all of us need these things too. How many think Jesus knows what we need? How about this now? Jesus gives acceptance. Jesus gives approval. Jesus gives affection. Jesus gives association, and Jesus gives authority. We don't move from these things because these are the things we need. Listen, when God made Adam and Eve, He said, I'm going to be your father and I'm going to be your God. And what they needed was encapsulated right there. That their life would have not been complete just by being spilled on planet Earth. Their life would have been complete by, here, I made you and you, do whatever you want now. No, He designed them with fellowship in mind. Your families are the same way. Regardless if they get estranged or not, we need one another. We got to keep that door open. If your son or daughter is away from the Lord, or maybe there's a struggle in the relationship, don't cast them out. Look for the Lord. I'm going to bring them in. Amen? I'm going to just hold the example, and they'll see it. All of us know when we're not living right. Whether we want to admit it or not is another thing. But you just keep being there. No, I'm going to keep being there. I'm going to keep that door open. Always leave the door open for return. Amen? How many knows if you raise up a child in the way they should go, when they're old, they won't depart from it. That's a word for somebody in here. And last here this morning, we need to correct our children. Just don't punish them, correct them. Come on. Sometimes correction needs some reinforcement. Bless God, I needed reinforcement. Now, every family is different. Every amount of punishment is different. Back in when my day, you got the belt. Anybody ever get a whooping? Let me see all the whoopings, okay? How many of you were just obedient enough, you just got spoken to and you changed? No. Oh, no way. No way. You get up there. Amen. All right. Kim says, yeah, that's me. No way. No way. Right. The problem with Kim was, is like she'd do something wrong, I'd go to her mom. Hey, man, here's the deal. She couldn't get away with squat. All right. But some of us needed a little more corporate punishment to get her attention. That was me. Amen. I was the kid that did everything wrong and broke everything. Yep, that was me. But sooner or later, God gets a hold, doesn't He? Keep praying. Keep seeking Him. Sometimes people are punished, but they really need to be corrected. Come on. Number two, don't ignore wrong behavior. When I was a youth pastor, many times when a student would act up, generally it wasn't because of something that was going on in the environment of church, but something was going on at home, or maybe a relationship. And many times when a youth would say, "What's going on?" "Nothing." They'd get that, "Nothing, nothing." But if you just talked like one more word in that situation, many times they would open right up. And what I appreciated is I always had great men and women say, "Look, would you mind giving her a little counsel and help?" And many times, it's amazing how a girl could snap a girl out of whatever she was into and she'd be fine. I mean, does you need that? But why they were acting up, there was something wrong. How many of us, sometimes when we're acting up, sometimes something's wrong? Yeah. True? Yeah. Let's get to the root of that. Let's not cancel them out. Let's get to the root of that. Number three in this area. Don't pamper your children. Give them protection. I like this quote here. Direct, protect, and correct. Direct, protect, and correct. Listen, don't pamper them. Sometimes we do this, and I see this today. Parents, don't coddle them in sin and say it's okay. Because what you're doing is you're setting the whole generation up for a fall. Sometimes if they don't want to get out of bed and it's time to get out of bed, you're getting out of bed. When you're in your own home, you can do what you like. Oh, come on. Parents, you set the schedule, not the kids. Oh, no one's saying thunderous amens. That's just the truth. You're the parent in the home. Say amen. How many of those, it'll matter a few years after they leave the home what you did while they were in the home? And I'm going to make this real just loving. Everybody smile at me. Everybody smile, real smile. I've been a pastor long enough. If you become slacked in your spiritual walk and you don't care, they ain't going to give a rip at all. And then when you want the church to really help you and you've sowed all that, they're not even going to listen. Don't set them up that way. Amen? There are times where your kids will fight and scream. No, I don't. That may be the greatest move of God they ever had. How many here have ever resisted and all of a sudden you showed up and like, "Oh, I'm so glad I went." That flesh is always there to keep you out of. And I start to gauge it this way. When I feel my flesh rising up sometimes, I can recognize God's going to do some great things. It may be so contrary to where I'm at in feeling. No, God, because the flesh doesn't like the things of the Lord. Oh, come on. We want to help in all the means we can. Next area is don't mold clay that is dry. Sometimes we need to have our children's defenses a little bit lowered so then we can counsel them. Now, how many here ever back-talked your parents? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay, move over. How about this side? Anybody ever back-talked? Now, how many here, your family stood up that? You ain't back-talking me. Who had a family that stood up to that? Okay? Okay? When did you finally learn that you shouldn't do that? What did it take that you finally go, "Okay, I'm not going to do that again"? Because we've all been in stores going, "Man, if you were my kid, you wouldn't be doing that right now." Say amen. You're just like, I remember, I never forget this. I was in the grocery store, and this child was pulling the jars of pickles off the shelf and going, "Hee hee," and dropping them. And after the first one, I thought, well, maybe that was a mistake. When the kid did the second one, I just said, "Hey, look, you're not my kid, but you're not doing that anymore." Amen? Say amen. How many of sometimes you're in that weird position, but look, you're not going to do that anymore. You have to go find mom. Then the stock boy came and look, here's some, you got to clean this stuff up. It matters what we do. True? And the world is really watching us. They really are. They're looking to ridicule, but when you're walking in truth, they have nothing to stand upon. Amen? You enjoying this morning? Number five in this area, we need to give children equal access to you. If you have multiple children, they all need equal access. You can never have the favorite. This one may behave a little bit better, but we can never take that for granted. They all need equal access. Because I've learned this, he who's been forgiven much loves much. Now, we don't condone every behavior, but equal access. Don't we need that? Amen? Now, I'm not perfect in this area, but I try. As your pastor, I try to give everyone equal access. I really do. I strive for that. I want to know what's happening in your life. I want to see what's going on. I really do, because I care about you as an individual, not just because you come. Amen. I care about who you are. Well, thank you. But we all need that for one another. Can you imagine the church saying, you know, we have that. Well, the children also has the same. Here's my heart. If a child has a prophetic word, Pastor, God's given this word, and you hear that word and it's good, you're welcome to come to the mic and speak that. Amen? I can shut my eyes and shut out how old you are and listen to what God wants to say. Does God give us equal access to the very throne? He does. He says, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden. We also need that, which leads me to number 6. Listen, we need to make learning a joy for our children. We need to make learning a joy for our children. This is what I appreciate about Pastor Mark, is that there will be funny games. It's nuts. It's loud. Kids are this, doing this. And I think the last couple of years, Lauren has lost when it comes to the youth. And how they do that is this. They collect an offering up to the time of youth blowout. And if the girls have more, the guys have to have this. John will become a hot dog, human hot dog. But if the guys win, then Pastor Lauren becomes a human hot dog. So if you want to bless the youth ministry, just work it through. We tally it up, and Pastor Lauren will be another hot dog.
Lauren will not be a hot dog.
Okay. So, but it's fun. How many of you can have some fun in God's house? How many of us, there needs to be a little laughter? Sometimes laughter, it's like good like a medicine. Sometimes we need to have that within us. Like, yo, cool. It's nice. Marcia shared a testimony when we came in that God's doing a work in her. She's like, Pastor, I got to tell you this. God's doing a work in me. I'm proud of you. In these days to come, she'll share a testimony what God's doing. Well, we need that, don't we? We should have encouragement today. Fathers, I want you to be encouraged. Ladies, treat him like a king today. Amen? Wants to put his feet up, let him put his feet up. Praise God. But what about the promise that Jesus made? I'll never leave you or what?
Forsake you.
Today we're living in a day and age where everything else is raising our children. Come on, they're more computer savvy than any of us ever were. I saw one of my little cousins one time at 3 years old could boot up the computer and remember the password on how to turn it on. I mean, there's also need to be safeguards in that, that at 3 years old, the whole world can come up. And you all know, sometimes an innocent pop-up turns into something like, oh my gosh. We also need safeguards too. As a church, we want to have all this built in, that no matter what age they are, we can help in that arena. We had a couple grad parties this weekend. I'm so happy. I remember they were little, but now they're older. Now they're making decisions for themselves. Lord, I pray that we instilled something. We did something to help them along. But we all need that, true? If your children are older, then you can be that example to the next generation. I charge you as your pastor to speak multiple generations into fellowship. We need it. We need the seasoned as well as the new. And if we do, we'll never be unfruitful. And if the Lord should tarry, let's make it 100 years from now. I mean, this place here still needs to be a church reaching the lost. Maybe it's our children will take over in that arena. Then there'll be another generation. But we need to speak that. If we don't prepare for it, we won't have it. But I want us to have it. I want us to walk in the fullness. Come on, we've all made mistakes in parenthood. There isn't a perfect parent. But you know what? We turned out okay. Come on. Let's not put it all on them either. Lord, we turn out okay. We can make the difference. And if we make the difference, you know what? The Lord will be pleased. And I'm not ashamed to be called a son of God. Amen? I'm not ashamed on any level. And if your family has been splintered or broken apart, here's what I love. Jesus said, if you're without father or mother, I'll be that to you. I'll be what you're missing. And God will be that for us. The other day I was reminded that there's divine protection over our congregation. I want us to be able to pray that more effectively over our children, over our grandchildren, over our church congregation, that, Lord, you'll protect and keep. How many of the Lord can do it? A buddy of mine just lost his leg in a farming accident. And it was a tragic farming accident. And yet he had the peace and strength enough to make his own tourniquet while he laid on his ground, dialing 911 and waited for the ambulance to show up. Nobody was home and he couldn't walk. I said, you know what? I go, praise God for that. Because how many knows that you could go into shock and that'd be it and come on. Yet the peace of God came over and strengthened. And then we were praying for him. He knew he was going to lose his leg in amputation. And he said, I talked to him on the phone. He says, will you pray that they'll be able to cut it off below the knee because my foot's already gone. I said, I'll pray for you. I talked to him yesterday. I went to the hospital. He says, you know what? They did just that. I still got the use of my knee. My foot's gone, but I'm not bitter. It was an accident. God help me. I'm like, God will help you. God will help you. We need that. I want to step it up in prayer. Not that I'm fearful and afraid of the world, but I want divine protection on our families. I want God to move and bless them. Amen. I want all our children to know more about the Lord than we know about Him. That's my heart in the matter, that every generation is blessed. Fathers, I'm going to single you out here. You have a great, great responsibility to instill in your children. Take that time now because they grow so fast. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for this time.